All right. Well, we're going to wrap up the program as promised with Erin Kirk. She is the Connecticut Cannabis Ombudsman. We had the pleasure of meeting her very shortly after she earned and took the seat of the Connecticut Cannabis Ombudsman about 18 months ago, and a lot has happened since then. So we're going to catch up with her in just a few moments, but we do want to shout out to all Connecticut high school students, parents, guardians, educators. Yes, the 2026 Southern Connecticut College and Career Fair is coming to the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater down in Bridgeport on Wednesday, April 22nd from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. It's absolutely free, and you'll have an opportunity to meet admissions counselors and representatives from nearly 200 colleges, universities, and businesses from across the state, country, and abroad. You can learn more and register now by visiting ctcollegefair.com. All right, Erin Kirk, we are calling you up on a short shift of sleep after you have just received a copy of what a lot of folks across the news organizations and media have been flagging and kind of warning about over the past few days, this huge omnibus legislative bill up in Hartford. And we're going to talk about that in just a little while, but we will be sensitive to your lack of sleep and have you look back a little bit first, because it's been a busy 18 months for you. How you been?
Oh, I've been terrific. Thank you so much, John. I really appreciate the follow-up. It's been quick, you know? I can't believe it's already been this long. I feel like we've been at it, you know, just for a short amount of time, but it's almost 2 years now, and we've really gotten a lot done, and we're looking forward to this short session and really putting some things to bed that we've been working on for years here. Mm.
So there's been many a joke and a snicker over the ombudsman title, but you guys do serious work over there. For folks who may not be familiar with you because they may not be or know a medical cannabis candidate, tell us just a bit about what you and your team do over there.
Well, first of all, I'm thrilled to be the first and only cannabis ombudsman in the nation. I will say that a bunch of other states, probably about 10, have already called thinking they might want to institute the same type of office to protect our patients, which include our vulnerable citizens, you know, senior citizens, and our veterans and children with epilepsy and whatnot. So it's been very exciting. I will say that there's a lot going on, and I work with the DCP and the Majority Leader's Office, and we all work in unison to try and tweak things, and we look at other states and see what goes right and goes wrong, and we try to make it you know, work for our people here.
And you are an attorney by trade, and have done some work across the country and in D.C. You've got quite a resume.
Oh, you're so kind. Thank you. Yes, I am an attorney. I also was lucky enough to get one of the golden tickets. I was one of 25 chosen out of almost 50,000 folks who put in Federal Register comments to be involved in the federal DEA rescheduling matter. So I've been working at this for quite some time, and I'm very keen to see what this administration is going to do to maybe speed up what earlier administrations had tried and failed to do. But it's I come to this from my work with veterans, and I think Connecticut's actually done a lot of good work in this arena. You know, we've really tried to help our patients and got, as you said, several bills that are going on. But a big omnibus bill dropped last night, and we have some other smaller bills. So there's a lot going on, and I was told by the Majority Leader's office that cannabis is their priority this year, which was wonderful. Couldn't believe they said that. Was so excited, because I think to some extent they've been working on it for a long time, and they'd like to get it right and kind of put it inside DCP. But I appreciate that the lawmakers are consistently coming back to the subject matter, seeing what's working, seeing what's not, working with the Social Equity Council, and really trying to make this a better framework. I mean, my background, as you know, is international maritime and business. So I see the international movement, and I have many people overseas who are really doing beautiful things, particularly for patients. And we will have interstate commerce here. So my key goal here is to protect our patients while understanding that a broader market is coming.
Very good. Very quickly, what does the action so far at the federal level to reclassify? Is that the proper way to say it? To reclassify cannabis?
Yeah, they would reclassify from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3. So Schedule 1 is fentanyl and heroin. Mm. Schedule 3 is more things like Tylenol with codeine. A lot of us don't even want a scheduling. We want it to be made completely legal and put in a category like alcohol is. Alcohol does not have to go through all these steps. But for now, that's not on the horizon. And, you know, it remains to be seen what federal legalization will do. My whole concern about this, and one of the things I mentioned in my comments to the DEA, is I want states' rights to be preserved. I don't want the federal government coming into tiny Connecticut and telling us how to help our patients. So I'm very concerned about the preservation of state programs. I know it will hopefully bring 280E tax relief, which, by the way, our omnibus bill tweaks very well. That was something we got done here a few years ago after I had a meeting with Mike D'Agostino, and he was very quick to get us 280E relief. That's been tweaked in this new bill. But I just think that there's a lot of changes coming. And the feds, I wouldn't wait on the feds. I think we should continue to do what we're doing. We've advised that to all our hemp folks, too, which this bill that came out last night also covers. So we're not abandoning hemp, and we're not looking at the federal government right now. We're just sort of on the sidelines waiting to see what they do. I am, though, involved. I actually was down. I drove down over the weekend and met with White House officials or administration officials, you know, just went down and knocked on some doors and had some appointments. And I've been kind of using proxies as well to get to this administration and explain that, yes, we want CBD for our Medicare patients. We want it paid for, which we hear is happening through the fabulous Dr. Oz as of April 1st. And then we want cannabis to be paid for. One of the big things the patients have said in their comments about the bills being brought up here as in Connecticut, as well as nationally, is why is everyone's medicine paid for but the cannabis folks? Yeah. Why can't they get off their opioids, which many of my patients who call are doing, and the cannabis isn't paid for? So that they can get their opioids and their what they think is bad medicine, but they can't get their good medicine. So that's a huge issue. So insurance coverage is going to be hopefully something that happens when the feds do something. But in terms of waiting around for the feds or, you know, hoping they're going to do something, we could be years away. Frankly.
Sure, sure. Well, before as we speak here on Thursday for the Sunday show, we should, you know, put a caveat in that, you know, things are as we've seen telegraphed from the leadership of the House and Senate, things are moving very quickly. So some things we may briefly discuss today could have faced some changes by the time folks either hear this on Sunday morning or hear the podcast next week. So, what I wanted to do was, you know, at this point, we're sort of ankle, maybe shin deep in the quicksand of the 2026 session. But let's look back and try to encapsulate a couple of what you would consider your biggest achievements or victories in that came out of the last session.
Oh, perfect. Super. So last session, we got a couple of great things with the help of the DCP and the legislators. So some of this stuff has to be done legislatively, and some can be done through policies and procedures through the DCP. So after a coordinated effort, we got some really good things, one of which is green crosses, which are universally used in Europe for pharmacies and used in California for medical dispensaries, are now allowed to be put on the front or top of your building to show, like a beacon, that you are a legitimate pharmacy. And that's been kind of a nice way to not only normalize and destigmatize, but also to just show that this is medicine. Another thing we did was
uniform branding standard to identify cannabis pharmacies.
Yes, it's a green cross. And if you were to go to, I was at Fine Fettle in Stamford the other day, and they had it right on their front of their building. And I suggested to Mr. Zaks, he might want to put it on the top of the building, because then it really is a beacon.
Sure.
But, you know, it depends on zoning and landlords and all that. But he said he thought it was a great idea because it, again, legitimizes everything.
Yep.
Another thing we did is I am very vehement against anything that appeals to children. Anything that is sold in a smoke shop that hasn't been tested, and all these bad, deleterious things we see happening. So I'm really excited about some of the labeling that we're going to get done. I'm excited about some other matters that we've done. But in terms of this particular last year, we got an increase in concentrates, an increase in flour percentages. And the reason we wanted that is we wanted to make sure that manufacturers are motivated to sell to our patients. They were not interested in making products that would only sell to the small patient population and not the larger population. So last year we asked for an increase from 30 to 35% of flour, and we wanted an increase in concentrates, and what we got was 70%. This year we've been told by many people that are in the scientific side of this that if you take a naturally occurring plant and the THC is at 90% and you make it 70%, you're actually adding something into it, and that could be unhealthy. So this year they're revisiting that. But last year we got the green crosses, we got increases in potency. Another thing we got was in an effort to, sorry, I started to talk about it a second ago, in an effort to, you know, kind of get away from the smoke shops and show people what are legitimately licensed stores, we copied New York's use of QR codes. So the Department of Consumer Protection has created certain QR codes, and they are disseminated to the businesses, and they put them on the front of their businesses, and particularly the dispensaries. They actually gave it to everybody, and my goal was just really dispensaries to show that this is legit. So the dispensaries are now using those QR codes. So if you're a consumer and you walk up to a building and you're not sure, is this a real place to buy safe cannabis, you'll know when you see that sign. We've got some other things that are very technical, but we really got a lot. And that's then great. This year, we're just building on that.
Excellent. Folks, if you're just tuning in and getting ready for a music or talk with us, Erin Gorman-Kirk is on the line. She is the nation's first cannabis ombudsman, and we got her right here in Connecticut. Just talking a little bit about achievements over the last 18 months that she and her team have been working on behalf of the medical users of cannabis and the qualified applicants to the program. And I would like to now kind of turn our attention to today. Before we put on the microphone, Erin, you said there's a House Bill 5242 that you've got your eye on.
The newest bill that came out, you mean? The one from last night?
Well, you said there were a couple of raised bills already. Yep.
I beg your pardon. Yep. Gosh, there's so many bills. Yes, that is the bill to allow terminally ill patients to use cannabis at the end of their life. We've brought some experts in that have given good testimony, and some good talks were held with the legislators. We believe that if you are in a hospital setting, you should be able to use your medicine. And you know, if you have other medications, you bring them with you. We don't want to have our patients be told you can't use your medicine here. And we understand the issue with combustion, which is not covered in this bill. You can't use combustible items. But I don't see why you can't give someone a tincture when they're in their last days. This keeps them lucid. They get to express their love for their family. They can share memories. We've had so many patients who are literally drugged out. They're given morphine patches, and they're given additional medications, and they're just not lucid. So Dr. Anwar, who's one of our wonderful representatives, has proposed this bill, and I did not see a great deal of opposition, which really pleased me. I wanted to point out, I kind of lost my train of thought earlier because you said Erin and her team.
Yeah.
Just so you know, I don't have a team.
Okay.
It is just Erin. So I just want to put that out there in case people wonder, you know, where's your team? So we do, you know, I'm doing the work on my own, and I'm loving it because I do have all these touch points within, you know, the legislature and the DCP.
Sure.
And the Office of Healthcare Advocate is my appointing office, and they're always very helpful. I do want to give a shout out, though, to Matthew Schilberg, who is my University of Connecticut public policy agricultural grants grad student. And he's gotten a grant for public policy, and he and I have been able to survey our patients. So we sent out 37,000 emails, and we have gotten over 4,000 responses, which tells you people have a lot to say. We really thought we'd maybe get a 1% return. And I'm in politics and have been. If you get a 2% return on a survey or a mailing, that's considered good.
Mm.
We have gotten, you know, we had to shut it down yesterday because we have so many people wanting to tell us what's good and what's bad about the program. So Mr. Schilberg has been so helpful to me because, again, I don't have a staff And he's just really helped me tie up a lot of loose ends and do some very good data seeking and compiling. So it's been great.
Very good. So what else has been raised already in regards to your area of purview?
So one of the things that I wanted was reciprocity from other states. There was a little bit of a hiccup with that. I thought we got it last year, but it turned out that the DCP couldn't do it. So I got a commitment before session from Majority Leader Rojas, and that is in this bill that was put down yesterday. So what we want is to allow people who are visiting the state the ability to get their medicine. So, you know, if you lost your medicine or need it, you could always go to a CVS and get your heart medication sent to you. Mm. That's a reciprocity thing. So we wanted to do that here, and we actually beat Massachusetts doing it, which was great. And there are some other things in terms of tweaking the percentages again. I believe there should be more training now that we have. One of the things we got last year that I forgot to mention was really good. We allowed all retailers to go hybrid so they could serve medical patients as well. And we love that, and it's been great. It helps people who live in remote areas. But we haven't really done training for our bud tenders and the other personnel to understand patients and how they may react and how they're not the same as others. So I do still get quite a bit of complaints about, you know, the lack of understanding. And so as we go hybrid, I'm hoping we will either add a training requirement or that these companies will voluntarily train their bud tenders and their folks so they get the repeat business. And then the main thing, there's a lot of other small items, or not small, there are a lot of other items, but the main thing has been a lot of talk about labeling here. We've got a big issue because we can't brand and we can only use black and white. This bill allows you to use three other colors. Black and white aren't included, and you can label, and that way you'll have brand loyalty. But what they're not doing is something I've asked for since day one, which is if a product has been remediated, then they should put a Radura label on it. This is done in all other agricultural spaces. It's been required since 1986. We had a doctor from Colorado who's the top researcher in the country, Tess Edom, come and testify for us last year, and she will do it again this year. Because you radiate something doesn't mean you've taken away the deleterious materials or those that can be deleterious to some people. You're just kind of painting over it. And we want to be advised of that. I want to see transparency in labeling. And I'm told it's a scarlet letter or you shouldn't do it. But if you are a company that preemptively radiates, then put it on your label. You must be proud of how you're doing it. Why are you saying, you know, this is a problem? In the bill that was dropped yesterday, there is a whole name and shame kind of concept, which I believe is a reflection of the market issues in Massachusetts. And it is that no producer or cultivator can extend more than 30 days any credit to any retailer, dispensary, or any of that. And that's because a lot of dispensaries haven't been paying their bills in other states. Not only do they say you have to pay it, if you don't and you're told you have a past due bill, that retailer has to either pay or answer within 5 days. If they don't, the person to whom the money is owed is required to send to every other person in the chain in the whole state that this guy owes him money. Mm. Now, I think that's very interesting. I've never seen that kind of a concept for collections before in anything else I've done. I've done defense bills. It's very interesting to me. Yeah. But if you're going to, quote, name and shame, then let's do it across the board.
Very good. I appreciate the information and the catch up on what folks who are utilizing Connecticut's medical cannabis suppliers should be looking at as we move through the short session of the General Assembly here in 2026. And always appreciate your input and your candor, Aaron. Very much appreciate it. We will say farewell for now. Aaron Kirk is the first ever Connecticut cannabis ombudsman, the first one in the country, as a matter of fact. Been on the job about a year and a half, and as you heard, working hard on behalf of all the folks who have qualified for the Connecticut medical cannabis program. Aaron, great to hear your voice. Thank you so much for everything, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much. Lots of other things coming, including consumption bills and everything else. So let's stay in touch over the session and see what we can get done, John. Thank you.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two thoughts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.